This time I'm going to invite Mark and Carolyn to come up and join me on the platform. And as we've been announcing, they were going to get married today in the service, and that's a reason why they asked to be married in the service, and we'll kind of unpack that a little bit as we get along, give you a brief history. I've told them we're just going to kind of talk here like we're in my office, and you guys are the flies on the wall, okay? They're really here because they want to give God the glory for what he has done and the people he has used, which includes the church family. When they first got married, they didn't do that in the church, and we'll hear a little bit about that story as well. The song that was played is a significant one because it kind of chronicles your life. And here we are on April 1st, and there was a time when something like this happening right now would have seemed like a big joke, because, but a joke that you laugh about, but inside you're crying about because it wasn't very funny.
No.
And this is Mark Bounds and soon to be Carolyn Bounds. Okay. And we're just going to kind of talk. They were married in 2010, in July of 2010. Pretty early on in the relationship, things started going south pretty quickly. In about June of 2011, Carolyn moved out and later filed for divorce. And when, you know, the church gifted me an opportunity to take a couple months off for a sabbatical, when I got back, Mark showed up at my office, and just a different Mark, and began to really have a turn in his heart toward the things of God. And through that process, Mark and Carolyn started meeting, and we worked through some things, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. First of all, let's talk about the significance of the song, okay?
Well, first of all, I think you're supposed to sit here.
we switched it up from the first service.
I see that. Now, the song, it takes me where I was when we did divorce, to the bottom, to the pit. And I've never give up on Christ. God's slowly but surely strengthened me, and that's what that song, I mean, it's the glory and power to him. Mm-hmm. And it just humbles me to
Yep. Okay. And Carolyn, you were having some family things going on as well during that time. You shared with me and a death. And
I lost a daughter in January of 2009, and then my granddaughter was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. When she was born. And then Mark had lost his mother in March of 2009. And then we got together in April. And so we had a lot of grieving and, you know, that we were going through that, I think, brought us together in the first place, because mm-hmm. we kind of, you know, felt connected. And he, you know, I prayed that if there was ever another man in my life, that he would be a godly man. And Mark mm-hmm. was it.
Yeah. And you came, you know, during some time. It gets a little fuzzy for me, but after your marriage, you started attending church together as as a couple and things. And you did the good message, Pastor, and you stepped on my toes today, and you know, all the stuff.
Excuse me.
Yeah. you know, and you've told me there were times when you just felt like, man, you know, the message was just for you and stuff. But what you shared with me is that, good message, boy, is it good to hear God's word. And then you would get out in the car, and you'd start a fight.
Yeah,
you'd start a fight. And we kind of talked how that was kind of sometimes a protection. If you can kind of mess up another relationship over here, you don't have to deal with the things with God, you know, and things. Mark, I'm gonna go to you here a little bit. And what has been the real difference? What's the difference between Mark today, who's ready to recommit in marriage to Carolyn, and the Mark that eventually led up to a divorce. What's the difference?
Well, earlier it was a lot of pride and coming to the church here and listening to sermons, and the pride is a sin. And I just realized that. I didn't want nothing to do with Sunday school or the Bible studies during the week. I thought that just attending church was fine and, you know, going home. But that wasn't the only thing. There was other things. I found out that I needed to humble my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when I humbled my heart, that's when the pieces of the puzzle started coming together. The Lord really started working with me. Mm-hmm. And Bible study. I didn't want to go. I want to go now. I can't get enough of it. Sunday school, we just started not too long ago, but I wouldn't give anything for my Sunday school class.
What brought you to the place where, I mean, you heard stuff before, and we know information doesn't change a person's life. I mean, wisdom tells us, and Jesus said, he who hears these words of mine and acts upon them is the wise person. Yes. And the one that hears the words and doesn't act upon them. Can you identify what was the difference? How did your heart turn to say, I need to deal with my own personal pride and fear the Lord?
Well, it cost me a marriage. Okay. I didn't humble my heart and turn it, and it cost me my marriage. And that's something that after it did, I came to you. And the Holy Spirit then even worked even harder on me then. And mm-hmm. it took me one evening that I just couldn't sleep. My soul was on fire. And I knew I needed to come and see her, even though she wouldn't talk to me. It was one evening, and I knew that better to go to her house, so I'll wait till the next morning. But she gets up early. Well, I get up early, but I didn't sleep, so away I went to the house, and there was no one there, of course, and she's got a daughter on the west side of town, so I cruised by there.
We're talking 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, 4:30 in the morning, yes. And at 4:30 in the morning, I knew better than to go up to the house and knock on the door, because they both skinned my hide. So I waited out in the road in the middle of 6th Street. And Dodge cars, probably some of you that were going to work. And she came out, and I just scared the holy wits out of her, and I didn't mean to. And I seen her coming, and I, Carolyn, what are you doing here? But it ended up being.
And you did this, although you had some well-meaning friends that would give advice and say, just get over it.
Yes.
Let it go. She's going to take you to the cleaners. You know, all those things, all those fear things that would keep you from humbling yourself and saying, and somehow, Carolyn, you noticed that there was a difference in Mark because that was different than the Mark. It wasn't as scary as one might think it was.
No. He asked me, he says, can I talk to you? I'll cry.
That's okay.
He said, would you ever forgive me for what I've done to our marriage and you, you know, your life? And I stood there for a minute, and I said, yes, I will. And he said, I've gone to Pastor David, and I was just wondering if you would go to counseling to see if we have anything to rebuild. And I told him, I said, give me a day, or give me 2 days. I think it took me a day, and I said, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's been a wonderful journey.
And you didn't set the date then. Let's remarry April 1st or whatever.
There, no.
That was
you
the father's thing.
There were times along the way where you questioned each other's commitment, and it was messy.
It wasn't easy.
And Mark, you've asked me to let's just be completely honest, and you've given me permission to do this.
Yep.
Because this wasn't just about getting Carolyn back.
No,
there were
no.
some things in your life that were going on, some habits that were detrimental to your marriage and your ability to give it. And we're talking about pornography.
Yes.
And when you got frustrated and things not happening in the marriage relationship and things, you turned to other
things.
And you had to face that sin right on.
Yes.
And you know, depending on various studies that you have, it says that even in the church, 50 to 70% of men struggle with this at some form or another. And it's all men in the church, including pastors. I mean, this is a strong pull on a man's heart. And we think that there's going to be some fulfillment or satisfaction that we're not getting, but it really talks about a vacuum in our own heart.
Exactly right.
And pride would say, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't pride. Get over it, you know, this is nothing and all that. But you had to not only face that, but admit it. And today, where is that? Does it have a hold on your life today?
No.
And by the grace of God, it never will again?
Nope.
And you, I know you've told me, if anybody is struggling with that, a man that have, you've got some accountability in your life now,
yes.
And you're not trusting yourself, you're saying, I need people to help me get and be the man that I know God wants me to be.
Right.
And I just, so we just want to give God praise for that
exactly.
Victory, you know.
Exactly.
And Carolyn, we're going to get to you now, because it wasn't all Mark. It wasn't all his temper, and it wasn't all the words that you guys threw at each other in the relationship, and it wasn't just all the wounds from other relationships you've been involved in. God kind of revealed to you that there's some areas of your heart that you were holding on to that prevented you. You didn't mean for it to, but it just prevented you from loving Mark and trusting other people. Will you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I had no trust. Mark and I was talking, I don't think I really ever had any trust even as a child, because my family, there was a lot of abuse in my family, not from my mom and dad, but from others. And that I never had that trust to, and I look back, and I never had that trust. So, you know, when I start seeing things happen, well, it jumped back to other relationships in my childhood. You know, I'm not going to go there again. And I told him, I said, and I've told you too, in the beginning, I just want my little house, my grandkids, and my kids. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
But that's being very selfish,
yeah,
and self-centered.
Yeah, and there were some things you hadn't forgiven yourself. For
oh,
some
yeah.
decisions you had made in the past that you felt guilty about,
mm-hmm.
but didn't know what to do about it, and so you just tried to forget it.
Yeah, and I thought I had forgiven myself it's about 25 years ago. I had an abortion,
mm-hmm.
and all, you know, I let somebody convince me, because I've always been able to be easily convinced by others. And that has been really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very hard.
And part of it was not trusting others, but not even trusting yourself at times. And saying, why do I always end up this way? And as we talked last week about a wounded spirit and things,
yes.
and I imagine some of that was kind of
yes.
going back there, where you have to just really not just accept Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, but embrace the cross.
And turn it all over to the cross.
God, I thank you that you took this sin in your body on the cross, and I can stand before you forgiven, not because of what I have done, but because of what he did for me.
Exactly.
And you know what? There was a time, there was a real shift that I felt, and you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Because Mark, you know, the first time we were talking about Mark, and Mark this, and Mark that, and, you know, although you accepted responsibility, you hadn't done things well either, but you, this area of trust came out. And you asked me, how do you learn to trust? I want to trust, and I hear what Mark's saying. I want to trust him, and I want to trust God. How do you learn to trust? So talk about that.
Well, we were in a session with Pastor David one day, and I brought a cup of coffee from work, and I was sitting there drinking it, and Pastor David got to talking to me, and he said, that looks good. Can I have a drink of that? I said, well, yeah, here you go. You can have a drink. He didn't take a drink, but
I did take the cup.
Yeah, he took the cup, and he looked at me, and he goes, how can you trust me and you can't trust this man here? I didn't know what to say. And Pastor David looked at me and he goes, you know, the only way to trust is just do it. Just do it. And then when I got up to go, I had to put on my coat. So here I go. I turn and give my cup to Mark.
Yeah. And, you know, the spiritual principle is there, is that all of a sudden faith doesn't just come in and they say, okay, now I'm ready to face life and I'm ready to face. You begin, it is a process of faith. And we trust God and we believe what he says. And we go ahead and we forgive or we take the next step. And we learn to trust by trusting. And if you never trust, if you never step out in faith, your faith will never grow.
Exactly right.
And
First, you got to learn to trust yourself. Mm-hmm. Trust yourself. Right. Put everything to the Lord. Give the Lord everything. Mm-hmm.
And the series we've been through on Proverbs, I mean, we've hit on the marriage, reconnecting with children and stuff. We talked about the power of words. We talked about dealing and understanding anger. You know, although you've made this change, you know, you have to continue to guard your heart because it determines the course of our life. And go ahead.
But the way you guard your heart is give it to the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Just give everything to the Lord and he'll help you in anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So now everything's peachy good.
No. We still have our issues, don't we?
Because I have too long a fingernail.
Yeah. This is a little technique they're doing that we talked about how to work
and
through.
It works.
And how to communicate things. Here's the other thing I wanted to touch on is when you got married the first time, you both had prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
You both were involved in the church. You both said that when you died, you were going to go to heaven. But there were just some issues in your life that you weren't dealing with.
Right.
Some you may not have been completely even aware of. I think there's been, you know, a place. I know, Mark, you guys came to me and wanted me to marry you back in 2010.
Yes.
And we were going to do, you've talked, go ahead and I'll let it be your words, okay?
Well,
you shared me.
We came to Pastor David and he wouldn't do it. He said he needed to work with us for approximately 4 months like he has this time here. And we just, I mean, again, it's pride. And no, we can go ahead and do it without you. And we did. And it's through past other, like Carolyn says, through other marriages that we both had. This is not my first one. And several, and you take the luggage with you. And sooner or later, you know, it's, what do they say? You can run from your problems, but your problems aren't always going to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is true. Yeah. And they came back to haunt both of us. And we didn't deal with them very good at all. Mm-hmm. But through the guidance with you and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're on solid ground.
And I think you're in a place where we've all been. You said, if I would have listened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because
right.
Honestly, you guys would say, you knew better.
Right.
Yeah.
And as we talked in the first service, sometimes we kind of go with God, know our sins are forgiven, and we want to celebrate Easter and all the good stuff of things and think, this little thing over here, God will kind of wink and nod. And we have an understanding when really we have a misunderstanding.
A very big misunderstanding.
Of what it means because
yes. You've
got to deal with sin.
Yes.
In your life. And go ahead, Carolyn.
First of all, that wasn't the first time when we got married. That wasn't the first time. We lived together from June to August, and then everything fell apart, and I moved out. Got back together in July, right before we got married, or June, and we lived together again. And I'll tell you what, he doesn't
yeah.
work through
no.
living together.
Yeah. And we've talked about this, you know, secular people, they have a hard time understanding this. You know, those people that live together and then get married have a higher rate of divorce than those that kept themselves. And you guys have been faithful to each other. You haven't been saying, well, we're married before, and so it's okay. Mm-hmm. You've stayed apart from each other. You're honoring. Mm-hmm. You say, we want to do this right.
We are not just right.
We want to do it God's way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we want to honor him. And if that means... I have to say no to myself and no to each other. I realize that there's dividends when you honor God. Mm-hmm. And because when you get in marriage, you have temptations and it's God's way of building self-control, right, in our life.
And Pastor David, I really think that's what has built my trust in Mark too.
Yeah.
Is, you know, that has not been a part of our healing. You know, we love each other, but we've learned to love each other in a whole different aspect.
Mm-hmm. Now, after the service today, you're going to have a reception over here at the Route 56 yep. building. Anyone that wants to come,
anybody, you're all welcome.
But you also just want to, if anyone's having problems or you guys aren't the answer people.
Right. No,
you're willing to share your journey and say, this is what faith has done. This is what God has done. It's not easy. It's not pretty. It's sometimes messy. Sometimes you think it's easier if you just would have walked away. But when we know and we say we believe in God, I'm going back to what I said in the first, the most miserable people in the world are not those that don't know Christ,
but
those that know Christ and still are not following in obedience to Him. And because you're riding the fence,
this wishy-washy feeling.
And you understand fully, you're going to get in a carriage.
Yep.
And you're going to have a horse-drawn carriage and go along. But we're not going to put, and they all lived happily ever after, and the music starts and, you know, all of that stuff.
Right.
You are fully aware. You've got to, here's what we've said. You haven't been anywhere that you couldn't be again if you pick up pride, if you decide I'm not going to trust. Every day, we got to die daily. We've got to honor Jesus Christ in our daily lives.
Right.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to share before we...
Learn to communicate. Communication.
Yes.
We found out we did not have communication at all.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was one of our biggest things.
Yeah.
We just, both of us, want to thank all of you here. We wanted to do this not because, for glory for us. It goes to the Lord. And, we thank all of you for being our family. My thing wasn't with Sunday school, but I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Our Wednesday evening with Pastor Bob and our Friday nights with the Jenna Roots, they're absolutely beautiful. And it's with the family here that it is, that you all are actually family. Thank you.
Well, we thank you for sharing what God has done in your life, and to Him be the glory for everything. Yeah, let's give Him a hand. It's now my pleasure to lead you in your marriage vows. Mark and Carolyn, it's been enjoyable for me, your pastor, to reflect upon the experience that helped shape your lives this day. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't always been pretty. But you both have turned your heart to God completely, and that has made possible your remarriage today. Marriage is a gift, but it's also a call. You know the purpose of marriage is not to make you happy, although your lives have brought happiness to each other. Its purpose is to make you holy, to conform you more into the image of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And through your lives together, you'll learn to know God better, trust Him more fully, and love Him more deeply. Now I ask you to face each other and join hands together. Will you, Mark, commit yourself to Carolyn to live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others? Keep yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live.
I will.
And will you, Carolyn, commit yourself to Mark to live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? Will you love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, And forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto him, so long as you both shall live. As symbols of your marriage covenant, you have selected rings which are endless in nature and are thus fit symbols of the unbroken partnership of marriage. Let them be unto you constant reminders of your love, devotion, and commitment to each other. Now, Mark, will you repeat after me the following words as you place the ring on Carolyn's finger? I, Mark, take you, Carolyn, to be my wedded wife, and do promise and covenant before God and these witnesses to be your loving and faithful husband. From this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, for as long as we both shall live. And there too I pledge you my faith. Carolyn, will you do the same? I, Carolyn, take you, Mark, to be my wedded husband, and do promise and covenant before God and these witnesses to be your loving and faithful wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, for as long as we both shall live. And thereto I pledge you my faith. Mark and Carolyn, by your acts before God, you affirm your commitment to him and to each other. It's a beautiful thing when a man and woman come and commit themselves to each other on their wedding day, and your testimony of God's grace, forgiveness, and love make it even more the happier today. May you always remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is through humility of mind and soul and spirit that the blessings of God are experienced. The grace that has brought you thus far is the grace you will need to experience and live throughout the rest of your lives together. Mark, you may kiss your bride. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Mark Bounds. What the Lord has joined together, let no one separate, okay? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Okay, you may be seated. We're not having a recession on yet, okay? You've heard about Mark and Carolyn and God's work, and you no doubt have seen your own self. This is how Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and people saw the glory of God. And God wants to bring his purpose and plan so people can see it in our lives as well. We're going to talk real briefly. Some people have said, Pastor, how are we going to do three worship services with as long as you preach? Okay? Let me give you a pre-Easter miracle. Okay? You don't have sermon notes because the church copier decided to have an argument with me yesterday, and I just decided I'm not participating. I heard a message. I preached a message on... on anger and words, and I almost had a wounded spirit, so I decided you guys can make it without without notes, okay? I do have one here. Here's as we close the Proverbs series. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom instruction. And here's our problem. We think that usually we're a little smarter than everyone else. You know, honestly, I mean, I don't want to raise the hands, but sometimes you kind of look at the room and you say, I'm smarter than most people here. the wedding ceremony that we just had talks about some two situations in life that really help reveal what is in our heart. And this is mentioned throughout the Bible, and it's mentioned throughout Proverbs as well. Now, we know the passage of Scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Anyone else besides me admit that it's hard not to lean on our own understanding? But to turn our hearts, to take our pride, and to say, God, you have something to say, and sometimes it seems like you're kind of cutting me off, and there's some things that I'm not getting because you're asking me to follow this in my life. And sometimes it's just hard to trust. We see how it's hard to trust each other. Let's just admit it. Sometimes it's hard to trust God. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And here's the promise of Scripture. And He will make your path straight. As we get to the end of Proverbs, there's another proverb, not written by Solomon, written by another king. And here's he said, two things I ask from you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, I can pray that prayer most of the time, man, and I understand here's the two great situations in life that reveal what's in our heart. Success, prosperity. When things are going good, we have a tendency to think we're better than what we really are. Some people can come and say, oh, you've done such a good job. You are great. You are incredible. And with our words, sometimes we're saying, no, thank you. The glory goes to God. You know, thank you. You're embarrassing me. But inside, there's another little voice that says, yeah, I am good. I am pretty good. And all of a sudden we think, and here's why he prays, give me neither poverty nor riches. Things going really good or things going really bad. I mean, how many of you have heard someone talking about the lottery this week? I mean, everyone's got to play. You know, I have all sorts of statistics I could share with you about how, in fact, Fox News had a thing about how it's not a good thing. And it went through, a guy was in prison, someone committed suicide. You've had divorces, you've had breakups of families, all this kind of stuff. Because it's not the money that did it. Is that when all of a sudden we have money and we have power and we have prosperity and we can do things and control, you know, power, money talks. The one that has the gold makes the rules. That's the golden rule, okay, for some people. You know, it's why politics get so nasty sometimes the way they are, because you have more influence and more power, and you have people wanting you to do things, and they'll give you money to do it. But I will be one for, although I didn't play the lottery, here's what I tell God. I know a lot of people have trouble with it, God, but just test me. just try me. Try me on this one, okay? Poverty, riches, blessing, and pain. Two situations that reveal what is in our heart. And do you realize the marriage ceremony talks about those very things? For better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. For as long as we both shall live. Because for most of us, there's a lot of living after the ceremony. There's a lot of things that can be wonderful, and there's a lot of things that can go bad. There's a lot of things we can be disappointed about. And sometimes your attitude is, I'm stuck here. Listen, let's go on, okay? But give me only my daily bread. Sound familiar? Give us this day our daily bread. Otherwise, here's the problem with prosperity and when things go right. All of a sudden you say, who is the Lord? That's a heart that is saying, hey, I'm making it pretty good on myself. Aren't I good? Or you may become poor and steal. Now, don't think of stealing just as you know, robbing a bank or something like this. What stealing is, it is taking something that you wouldn't normally get and making it your own through devious means. And so all of a sudden you think maybe God's holding out on you or life's holding out on you. And so you figure out another way around it to get what you think you want that's going to fulfill your life. And I see we're coming up to noon here pretty close. We've got a lot of activity. So let me really bring this down here quick. I've got a lot of scriptures I could share with you. Come back next week, okay? How do we deal with our heart? Because right now in life, you have some things that are going right, and you have some things that are going wrong. And what wisdom would tell us is if you pay attention to what you say to yourself, what you say to others, your relationships, it reveals what's happening within your heart. Here's how you do it. And Mark and Carolyn exemplified this so well. When things are going good, or at least you pretend they are going pretty good, pride comes to the surface. And you say, I can handle this, I don't need this, and I can do it. And how do you deal with the pride in our life that Proverbs talks about? You apply the gospel to it this way. The gospel says this: I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you think you are. This is how God talks to us. I don't care who I don't care how long you've been a member of the Wesleyan Church. I don't care about your family. I don't care if you've only had one marriage and you've been pure and you've done all kind of the religion and done all that stuff. When you look at my standard of holiness, all of your righteousness is as filthy rags. The cross is the great equalizer. The cross says we all are sinners. And the Bible teaches us how many sins it takes to separate us from God. In the garden, it was one piece of fruit. In all the sins that the world has ever done, eating a piece of fruit doesn't seem like that big a deal, does it? But they disobeyed God. They leaned on their own understanding. And it brought death to them. Listen, God's not amazed at what we can do. Heaven didn't sit back yesterday and say, wow, 640 kids. Oh, those people at the Wesleyan Church, they're really good. He didn't do that. And if you sat up here and heard Mark and Carolyn talk about other marriages and divorce and think, oh, well, thank God I'm not like that. Oh, man, not me. God's saying there's pride right there. And you understand that the same way you get to heaven is the same way Mark and Carolyn get to heaven. It's the same way we all get to heaven. We throw ourselves at the foot of the cross and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the gospel tells us this. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When Mark and I get to heaven, come up here, Mark. He's not going to say, one of you come a little forward in the line because you were just a little bit better. We're going to go into heaven's gates together.
Exactly right. Amen.
Listen, in the gospel hits us in our pride, and this says there is none righteous, no, not one. But here, what do you do when you're like Carolyn, you can't trust? You say, I want to, and I want to trust, but I've been having so many hurts in my life, and I've disappointed myself, and I've disappointed others, and I've tried before, and I haven't done. Here's what you have to do when you have a trouble with trusting. You have to apply the gospel to your life, and you have to affirm yourself in the love of God. You have to realize what the Bible says, that God demonstrated his own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the very fact that Jesus came and died, when he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, he settled for all eternity the question on whether you were loved. God doesn't have to do anything else to prove his love for you or for me. He's already done it. Now, we're fortunate that he does more than that. He restores marriages. He gives us the ability to forgive people that we otherwise wouldn't have forgiven. But we affirm ourselves with the gospel that says, God loves me and I'm valued in his sight. So if we have pride, we first humble ourselves and then affirm ourselves with God's love. And if we're scared and can't trust, we first affirm ourselves with the love of gospel, and then we humble ourselves and begin to trust God. It's what God wants for you, what he has for you, and what he has for me. Let's pray. Lord, today, there's been a lot for us to consider. And Lord, I pray that the other activities of the day don't edge out, don't move over your truth today. The reality is there are some here today that don't know you as their personal Savior. I pray that you would give them the courage to write on their communication card or to see a pastor or to talk to someone else here and say, today I need what Christ has for me. Father, so many in this room have made that commitment. There are others, Lord, as they've heard me talk and the Holy Spirit says, yeah, this little area of pride, it's evident in your life. And the problem with pride is sometimes it's hard to admit that we're proud. But there's been a softening. There's been a turning. You've seen some of the words and heard some of the words that were spoken and to say, this is getting a little bit too close. And I thank God, Lord, for those individuals. They're going to take a step and they're going to humble themselves and say, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. And I'm going to lovingly respect you and respectfully love you and to begin confronting this pride in my life. Lord, what Mark and Carolyn shared with us today, the difference maker has been you, and you moved when they acted upon it. There are some that want to trust but are afraid to. Lord, you know every situation. You know why they are afraid to trust. We're not asking for blind faith, but we're asking first and foremost that they would be assured of today that the love of Christ is over them in their life. I pray you'd bring people into their life that would love them, that they could entrust their heart with, people that love you and know you, and begin molding and shaping that heart to more fully express the joy that you have for each and every one of us. Father, you continue to do an incredible work in our midst. Your word says, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men to yourself. So today, Lord, we give you praise and honor for all you do and will do and have done in our life. In Jesus' name, I give this word of God over you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forever. Amen.